Needs quite often must. So common in this Imperium of ours are exacting circumstances the driver for acts we would wish we had more time or comfort to contemplate and engage with. Such, of course, is life, and yet within these dynamics emerge stories anew. Legacy is important, but from canvases blank can be painted scenes altogether surprising. Our current era in Domitus, a time of stunning upheaval and unprecedented change within the Imperium and across the galaxy, has proven a fertile ground for the stories of the new to be woven into history's tapestry. The subjects of this record are inheritors of a legacy, it is true, yet have come to define themselves in the wars of liberation that now engulf the Imperium. Know then that this is a record of the Blades of Novaris, fresh-faced bearers of the legacy of the 13th, a chronicle of the Silver Templars. The Silver Templars are relative newcomers to the Adeptus Astartes. The chapter is a scion of the most recent founding of Space Marine chapters, the Ultima founding. To many within the halls of the Logos Historic Avertia, these Astartes have become something of a symbol of our new Imperial epoch, and one is inclined to agree. They are, after all, comprised entirely of Primaris Space Marines, the enhanced Astartes that represent the pinnacle of the Emperor's genetic mastery in mass production of transhuman supersoldiers. Their foundation, during a time of unprecedented upheaval and change, has drawn the eyes of many, and it is this gaze the Silver Templars feel keenly. There is, by all accounts, no small amount of pride they take in comporting themselves with honor and zeal, showcasing to the Imperium all that the Primaris Space Marine represents as the future of the Adeptus Astartes. They are, of course, not without a legacy. As with all Astartes chapters, the Silver Templars base their genetic heritage on a chapter of the first founding, in this case, the Ultramarines of Primarch Robot Gulliman. They assumed their place alongside thousands of brethren chapters, bearers of one of the Imperium's most storied inheritances, yet now cast into the fury of the Indomitus Crusade to make their name. The chapter's history begins with that of the Ultima founding, at the dawn of the era Indomitus. The reborn Primarch, Robot Gulliman, seeing the desperate need of an Imperium reeling from the horrors of the fall of Cadia and the emergence of the Great Rift, raised dozens of new chapters for the Adeptus Astartes. Many of these were comprised entirely of Primaris Space Marines. The Silver Templars were one such chapter. They were born into a war already extremely in progress, cast out as heroes to stem the tides of demons, heretics, and aliens that were assaulting the Imperium with renewed vigor and malice. As common with Ultima Founding chapters, the Silver Templars were not granted a fief of their own immediately. So pressing were the times that they were dispatched into combat at once. Their battlefield blooding was the test of sorts, an examination of whether they possessed the skills enough to win themselves a homeworld. The feudal planet of Novaris, located within Ultima Segmentum, had been caught at the trailing edge of the warp storms that birthed the Cicatrix Maledictum. While not directly swallowed by the Great Rift, a fate that had befallen hundreds of other Imperial planets, the world had nevertheless been helpless to resist the coming of the Flawless Host, a heretic Astartes force pledged to the Chaos God of Pleasure. Owing to the vagaries of chronological anomalies, the Flawless Host's despotic and depraved rule of the world had lasted decades. The Chaos Space Marines had swept aside the paltry planetary defense forces with ease and quickly subjugated the population. Despite the world having a relatively low technological base, its people were craftsmen and artisans of superlative quality. Desiring the very best weapons for their warband, the flawless hosts forced the artisans of Novaris to produce for them debased arms and armaments, reveling in breaking the minds of loyal Imperial citizens and corrupting their holy arts. Unto Novaris came the liberators of the Silver Templars. Led by their first chapter master, Achilleos Zanaris, the Templars brought a fierce war to the flawless host, and one that was not without collateral damage. Between those humans used as chattel meat shields by the heretics, and those simply caught within operational areas that the Templars assaulted, 25% of the population of Novaris was lost in its war of liberation. This was, naturally, left off the subsequent propaganda reels. The imagists of the Indomitus Crusade instead placed all focus on the climax of the conflict, one that was a duel between First Company Captain Ducas of the Templars and the leader of the Flawless Host's warband, Lyrius Soulslaver. Their sparring was reputed to have lasted a full day, as the war for Novaris raged in a hurricane around them. Ducas was ultimately victorious, an act captured in gallant artwork almost immediately and spread across the segmentum as the first of what would surely be many acts of heroism the Silver Templars would commit in the name of the God Emperor and his Imperium. Despite the devastation to their world, the inhabitants of Novaris welcomed the Silver Templars with great acclaim. Their suffering at the hands of the heretics was over, and their world delivered once more into the Emperor's light. Novaris became the Fortress Fife of the Silver Templars, and has since that day been a good home to the chapter in many respects. Captain Ducas's duel with the Soulslaver unknowingly aligned with the planet's mythocultural mimetic base. Novarians, as a feudal people, divided into many kingdoms and dynasties, all sparring with one another for influence, have ever placed great worth upon the duel as a social construct for the honing of martial skills and the settling of disputes. Duelists are famed across the world and prized for their skills. Such contests of martial prowess have become a core tenet of the Silver Templars' chapter culture in kind. The chapter's potential recruits are required to attend a grand tournament in the foothills below their fortress monastery, Colossus. There, candidates engage in duels to the death in the hopes of being the first amongst the chosen. These aspirants are drawn from all reaches of Novaris and from all social strata. The Silver Templars care not if their neophytes are sons of commoners or scions of nobility. All must, after all, serve the Emperor in due course. Even the savage hinterland tribes, those that spurn the relative civilization of stone keeps and squalid cities, dispatch their bravest offspring to compete in the trials. Those that survive the vicious combat face yet another test of their mettle. They must ascend to the peak of Novaris's tallest mountain, Mitakis. The attrition rate is profound, but so are the tests meted out upon every potential space marine across the Imperium. The Silver Templars are no different. Those aspirants that reach the peak are borne into the depths of the Chirurgeon Halls of Colossus, to begin the lengthy and torturous process of Primaris Astartes' ascension. The chapter is organized according to the tenets of the revised Indomitus-era Codex Astartes. As the Scions of Gilliman, the Silver Templars take their obligation to the Primarch's greatest work extremely seriously, but knowingly adapted to the new paradigm of war the Imperium faces. Accordingly, they have been at the bleeding edge of Primaris chapter tactics and logistics, and as such have comported themselves a formidably adaptable force. Per Codex guidelines, the chapter is comprised of 10 companies of 100 warriors each, all led by a captain, assisted by a pair of lieutenants, and accompanied by a chaplain, apothecary, and an ancient, the latter with a retinue of veterans forming a life ward guard. Said veterans are also accorded the honor of First Company Associate Membership, this company being made entirely of veteran Templars who have sworn the chapter's sword oath, a ritual where they were given a task or quest by their commanding officer to prove their worth. Attempts to fulfill sword oaths have claimed the lives of many Silver Templars, but those that have achieved their goals are granted the honor of arising to the highest line the Astartes of the chapter can possess. The Silver Templars have rarely deployed their first company en masse. The chapter has displayed a tendency to use the company as a force multiplier across several war fronts at any given time, augmenting Imperial forces with their formidable skills. Frontline duties for the Templars are granted to the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th companies, those most heavily embroiled in the chapter's many wars. These are supplemented by the reserves of the 6th and 7th companies, each held as strategic assets to rapidly replace battlefield losses in the 2nd to 5th companies, or to reinforce them should tactical situations become dire. The 8th Company is the chapter's close support, formed of Inceptor and Reaver squads, while the 9th operates in a fire support role, wielding the chapter's heaviest and most advanced weaponry. Finally, the 10th Company is the chapter's vanguard, reconnaissance Astartes often equipped with lighter Phobos Mark X armor variants, primed to conduct infiltration, scouting, and sabotage operations. While the chapter's history has been relatively brief, they were nevertheless able to define themselves quite early in their existence. Barely had Colossus been constructed, than the call to arms from the Primarch Reborn himself reached Novaris. The infamous Death Guard, the heretic legion of old, pledged to the God of Plague, had launched an invasion of Ultramar, the realm of the Templars' progenitor chapter. The Death Guard had already devastated several worlds, and their vectorums were closing in upon the Primarch's homeworld of Macragg. The Silver Templars answered this call by dispatching 3 full companies to the aid of their genesire, plunging headlong into the massive conflict that would enter Imperial Historica as the Plague Wars. While all 3 companies, veterans of the liberation of Novaris all, were admirable additions to the Imperial line of battle, the conduct of the 3rd Company during the siege of Talassa Secundus is noteworthy for the sheer fearlessness shown by its Astartes in the face of truly overwhelming odds. Led by Captain Patricius, the 3rd Company of the Silver Templars breached the warp within the realm of Ultramar to reinforce a contingent of Ultramarine successor chapters, pledged to the defense of the Hive World of Talassa Secundus. Overall operational command of this task force had been granted to Captain Aurelius Lobos of the Nova Marines 5th Company, by far the most experienced of the assembled Astartes leaders. Captain Lobos was granted the title Force Commander with the privilege, and immediately set to organizing the defenses of the vulnerable Hive planet. The tactical situation was already deteriorating. As is common with planetary assaults perpetrated by the Death Guard, waves of viral infections were unleashed ahead of the ground invasion to debilitate and cripple the population. Plague waves were cascading through vulnerable baseline populaces. Shambling victims shuffled through hive zones, collapsing where they stood to cough lung matter out onto rusted decking. These most fortunate died quickly. Those that did not were befallen to the most terrible fate of one caught within the grasp of the Grandfather's maledictions. The longer the plagues of the corruptive god exist within one system, the more the taint of chaos is allowed to seep into one's soul. The poor unfortunates whose bodies resisted death instead found themselves transformed into poxwalkers, mutated unliving husks of the departed, now twisted to serve the dark pantheon of the warp as a shambling tide of putrid flesh. On a hive world, As any who know the history of the Dark Tide upon Antoma Prime may understand, such plagues are especially devastating. The untold billions of formerly loyal Imperial citizens become a fertile ground indeed for sorcerous maladies, often resulting in millions of poxwalkers emerging from hive sumps to overwhelm defenders. The Astartes forces upon Talassa Prime quickly came under attack from these hordes, and hurriedly established defense cordons to hold back the unliving torrents of mutants that drew themselves against the Imperials. This situation dragged on for solar weeks. To the Death Guard masters of the unwilling conscripts, this was ideal. The bounty of their unholy patron continued to spread, and the Imperial defenders were being worn down, bit by bit. The malicious attrition of a world's population turned traitor. Sensing a growing weakness within the Loyalist Astartes, the Death Guard sought now to deploy their own infantry. Bloated monstrosities of plague marines in tight, plodding infantry formations. Their legendary resilience cast off bolter torrents unleashed by the Loyalists. A plague marine could easily handle wounds that even a Primaris marine could not. Ranged weaponry soon grew useless as the plague marines reached Imperial lines. Blades were drawn, and bitter close quarters combat embroiled the defenders of Talassa Secundus. The Silver Templars shined in these melees. Their duelist skills brought to match blades with enemy champions, knowing full well the enervating sorceries each channeled to give unholy vigors to the pustulant flesh of their charges. Yet still the Death Guard came, each plague marine brought down only by a truly heroic amount of effort on the Loyalists' behalf. From within the blizzarding clouds of rot flies came the hulking form of a Lord of Contagion. There was nothing in the way of subtlety with this once man. He was a wall of rotten ceramite advancing inexorably upon the Silver Templars, shrugging off bolt rounds as a human may enjoy a summer's rain. Captain Patricius knew his duty was clear. The heretic monstrosity must be slain, and as soon as he was able. Elsewhere, the Nova Marines under Captain Lobos were being overwhelmed by gibbering plague-bearer demons and their corrupted Astartes allies. Lobos, seeing the inevitability of the break in his lines, ordered the Loyalists to fall back into the depths of the Hive Spire, organizing a regroup until friendly reinforcements had time to rally to them. Lobos dispatched these orders across all forces under his command. The Silver Templars simply ignored him. Captain Patricius was resolved. This was akin to a personal sword oath, driven by his own convictions alone. The enraged bellows of the Nova Marines force commander rang down the vox lines. Patricius shut them out, focusing wholly upon the death of his chosen target. He ordered his Silver Templars to clear him a path, and thus they did, with a terrifyingly methodic precision. Few words were exchanged. The Templars moved as one to cut through the enemy lines until they were surrounded on all sides by hordes of plague marines. Dozens of Imperials fell, but the route to the enemy commander was nevertheless secured, despite the cost. Captain Patricius wasted no time with words. The heretic had earned none. He charged directly towards the scythe of the Death Guard Lord, engaging the foe in a blur of Imperial metal against unholy resilience. The Lord of Contagion reaped terrible gashes across the captain's armor, forcing Patricius's Primaris biology to run at near boiling temperatures as it fought against the impossible virulence of demonic bacteriums infesting his opponent's weapons. The duelists of Novaris had honed his skills well, however. Patricius was victorious, cutting down the Lord of Contagion and putting rout to the Death Guard in the process. Victory had been snatched from the rotting jaws of a defeat. But it had come at the cost of the accord between the Silver Templars and the Nova Marines, perhaps with many other successor chapters. As the Blades of Novaris had committed themselves to the attack, they had opened gaps in the Imperial lines, exposing the Nova Marines to an encirclement that had nearly seen them overwhelmed. Captain Lobos had lost fully half of the Astartes under his command, thanks to the Templars' push to defeat the Lord of Contagion, and he made no secret of his abject fury to his counterpart, vowing openly to never forgive this betrayal of oaths that the Silver Templars had committed against his chapter. For his own part, Captain Patricius admitted no error. He stated plainly that the loss of an enemy commander had tipped what was surely defeat into victory, and any losses paid for the soil of the Emperor's realm were ultimately worth the cost. This, of course, did nothing to calm the ire of the Nova Marines. The tension escalated until the chapter quit the planet in disgust, Captain Lobos not wanting to shame his leadership any further by having the argument descend into actual violence. Talasso Secundus is a study in microcosm of the Silver Templars' means of making war. While quite content to commit themselves to working alongside allies, especially fellow Astartes scions of Gilliman's legacy, they will not hesitate to break with operational command when they see an opportunity worth taking. This is, of course, based on their own judgment. For such a young chapter, the Silver Templars display none of the deference commonly associated with Astartes of such brief lineages. They are not bellicose or headstrong, it must be understood. No wolves of Fenris they, nor frothing zealots like the more famous iteration of Templars. They are, however, clinically exacting in their decision-making, rendering some of their battles into a grim arithmetic of war, where losses are weighed against gains, and sometimes death is but the coin to be spent for the efforts to claim the day. The duel, as a means of victory, has likewise become a hallmark of their comportment. During the battles of the Plague Wars, Chaptermaster Zenaris personally defeated several Lords of the Death Guard and several other demon princes pledged to the Plague God, all in single combat, his swordsmanship nigh peerless, even by the exacting standards of the Ultramarines and their descendants. The Templars' favor for custom weaponry, wrought by the smiths of Novaris, has likewise become a sign of veterancy and honor among the chapter. For firearms, the Silver Templars have developed the term the Bond Marshal, signifying an Astartes whose mastery of both weapon and machine spirit has reached an accord such that they are one and the same. The loss of a bonded weapon is a source of deep dishonor. Many a warrior has gone through truly superhuman trials in order to retrieve one, or die in the process. While the Silver Templars remain young, the chapter has nevertheless developed quite a reputation for itself, with no heed paid to its relative youth on the galactic stage. We will watch their career, I have no doubt, with great interest. Ave Imperator, Gloria in Excelsis Terra. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter @oculusimperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.